Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The Gospel according to Matthew 8:21 through 35. And from Matthew's Gospel we hear, "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, if my brother or sister sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times?' Jesus said to him, 'Not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, "Have patience with me. I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the Lord of the slave released him and forgave him his debt. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to the Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, and as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his Lord handed him over to the torture, to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. Here ends our scripture reading.
We are continuing on with our worship series, Come to the Table, today. And for those of you who are just joining us, this series is a call, an invitation to dine with Jesus. An invitation that means so much more than just eating with Jesus, and because it never was just that. First, we explored God's table and how any table can become a sacred table when we embody God's love for humanity and the world. When we come to the table, we are Christ's hands and feet and heart, offering love to all of God's guests. Last week, we imagined that it was a kitchen table, and having conversations with someone over pastries and coffee, talking about building relationships, repairing relationships, and deepening relationships. We're called to sit down at the table with people we have disagreements with because this is how we honor our obligation to love each other. Today we are continuing on in Matthew's Gospel as we come to the table of peace. Forgiveness is on the menu, and we are called to sit down and find merciful ways to deal with one another despite our differences. Before we get started, will you pray with me? Merciful God, cleanse us and forgive us as we forgive each other. Prepare us to meet each other at the table of peace. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This, honestly, has been one of the hardest sermons I've written in the last, I don't know how many years, long time. It's about forgiveness. It's a tough topic right now. We all have stories in our own lives that we tell, where someone has done something that hurts us. Because it's a universal human experience. And even some of us have experienced more harm to others, and we cry out, "How is this fair?" It's not fair. It's not easy. It's an awful experience. Forgiveness is one of the most difficult Christian practices there is. I'm not talking about the Sunday school idea of forgiveness where all you have to do is say sorry and move on. I'm talking about the actual visceral difficulty that we have when wronged, hurt, abused, scared, lost in anger. Every one of us has experienced these kinds of situations. Forgiveness is so incredibly hard. There's no way for me to sugarcoat it. It's a hard road to walk. But it is the path towards abundant life. Forgiveness is the way of Jesus. It's the way of the cross. And I know at first glance, it may seem easier to seek out revenge. Maybe more desirable to get even. Wouldn't it be fun just to get back at them, you think? Make them feel this pain that I am feeling. Make them hurt the way I hurt. Sounds good. I know that. But it's the way of bondage and death. There is a saying that's attributed to the Buddha that goes, carrying around anger is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. It was from the place of death, vengeance, and coercive violence, from the cross, that Jesus spoke words of forgiveness, pointing to the way that leads to life. At the heart of discipleship lies the painful and challenging practice of forgiveness. Matthew tells us that Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my sibling who sins against me?" And Jesus replies, "Not seven times, but I tell you 77 times." In some translations, right? 70 times, 7 times, 70 times. Now, Jesus' number is not drawn out of thin air. It mirrors the boast of Cain's descendant Lamech in Genesis 4, who brags about the mortal vengeance he has extracted against someone who hurt him that far exceeds God's promise of sevenfold punishment against anyone who might kill Cain. Jesus is calling his community of disciples here to participate in undoing the curse of Cain and Lamech that has kept their offspring trapped in cycles of envy, hatred, violence, and retribution across the generations. And the exact number of times we forgive, that's not the point. The point is that we should never stop forgiving. God doesn't stop, so we shouldn't stop either. Jesus is giving instructions about the importance of forgiveness as a way of life in God's kingdom. Perhaps sensing that Peter hasn't quite gotten the point, he tells the story. In this parable, Jesus skillfully describes our tendency to seek vengeance, to demand a rebalancing of the scales of justice in a manner that we believe brings our accounts in line with others. A man experiences undeserved mercy and compassion from the one whom he owes a significant debt. And instead of shaping and defining his dealings with others by the mercy he has undeservedly received, he immediately turns to the one who owes him a much smaller debt and demands that the account be paid and the debt settled. Upon hearing what he has done, his master, the one who extended him this great mercy, now calls him to account and hands him over for punishment. This man is a slave to his own greed, his misguided sense of justice. He who has been set free for life chose the way that leads to bondage and torture. He chose not to forgive. In telling us this story, Jesus is holding up a mirror for us to see our tendency to withhold the very mercy and forgiveness that we have received. From our positions of self-righteousness, we cry out, "Pay me what you owe me." And Jesus, the most righteous judge, cries out from the cross, "Forgive them." What a tragedy it is when we forfeit the gift of freedom because we are unable to allow this spirit of love to form us into the people who practice this abundant economy of forgiveness, moving away from that bankrupt market of vengeance, getting even, and settling the score. All right, I know. Forgiveness is a hard road. It may take months, years, countless tears, endless prayers to get to the point where we can say, "I forgive you." But Jesus insists, grace is costly, and forgiveness involves the way of the cross. True life is found on the other side. I want to be clear as I can about what we're talking about here. Forgiveness is a spiritual practice. It's a discipline made possible by the grace of God, not some heroic act of will. It is something that we need to practice again and again and again on a daily basis until it becomes a part of who we are. Forgiveness is not forgetting. You cannot forgive what is forgotten. Forgiveness involves telling each other the painful truth, not a way of hold because we're not trying to hold something over the other person, but we're trying to find a way forward that breaks that cycle of eye for an eye violence that we so often find ourselves trapped in. Author Brené Brown writes, "Forgiveness is not forgetting or walking away from accountability or condoning a hurtful act. It's the process of taking back and healing our lives so we can truly live." Forgiveness is not about becoming a doormat and relishing the role of victim. Forgiveness is about claiming victory, freed from the horrible things others might have done for you. Lutheran pastor, the Reverend Nadia Bolz-Weber, after describing mistreatment as this chain that binds us, writes stunningly about the power of forgiveness to free us for the work of justice and transformation that Jesus calls us to. She writes, "Maybe retaliation or holding on to anger about the harm done to me doesn't actually combat evil. Maybe it feeds it. Because in the end, if we're not careful, we can actually absorb the worst of our enemy and at some level start to become them. So what if forgiveness, rather than being a pansy way to say it's okay, is actually a way of wielding bolt cutters and snapping the chains that link us? What if it's saying, what you did to me was so not okay, I refuse to be connected to it anymore? Forgiveness is about being a freedom fighter. And free people are dangerous people. Free people aren't controlled by the past. Free people laugh more than others. Free people see beauty where others do not. Free people are not easily offended. Free people are unafraid to speak truth to stupid. Free people are not chained to resentments. And that's worth fighting for. In calling us to forgive, Jesus offers us a different kind of justice that holds open the possibility of a new future, a way through the hurt and the pain that can lead to resurrection and new life. Forgiveness is about having our lives defined by the justice of God's kingdom rather than the justice of the kingdoms of this world. Yeah, it's hard. It seems downright impossible sometimes. We have such a hard time forgiving because, well, let's be honest, we don't think some people are worth forgiving. We don't think they deserve it. We judge people and we set rules about who is worthy of forgiveness. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty for not forgiving. It's such hard, hard work. There are people that I know I need to forgive for the hurt they caused me, they caused my family. I can't do it. I know I should, but I can't. And then what are we supposed to do with those who do the unthinkable, the unforgivable? Are we supposed to act like the Amish community did in the aftermath of the massacre at their schoolhouse in Pennsylvania? Unconditional forgiveness for the shooter? Are we supposed to be like the members of Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, offering forgiveness to the man who killed those who gathered to study and pray? Well, Jesus says yes. Yes, we are. As much as we may want to practice unlimited forgiveness, we cannot bring ourselves. I cannot bring myself to accept the endless nature of forgiveness that Jesus assumes. Jesus, there has to be a line in the sand somewhere. Surely there are people who are just so evil, who have committed such heinous offenses that we are off the hook in forgiving them. I really struggled with this, and I'm pretty confident you do too. Forgiveness is not easy. In fact, it's pretty much one of the most challenging requirements of living out the gospel. But there is great freedom in being able to forgive. When we sit down at this table, and when we open ourselves up, sharing our story, sharing how one's actions harm us, and then forgiving them for those actions, it's as if a great burden has been lifted from our hearts. So friends, come to this table of peace. Meet one another as human beings and as friends in Jesus. Practice forgiveness. Experience the power of reconciliation. Live into it. be open to it. As hard as it is, are you with me?